Hey everybody, welcome back to Last Christian. We are in our Bible study mode today. And as you can see, there's Moses behind me with the Ten Commandments. He wrote some of this part here too, or the inspiration of God. Letter by letter, I might add. So we got some fun things to talk about today. JD, how do you like my new picture?
I like it, David. I'm looking forward to seeing Moses for real someday. You know, that's going to be,
he looks like that.
Yeah, I wonder too.
There's a guy, and he runs a Christian bookstore over here in Queens. It's literally, check this out, the only Christian bookstore in New York City.
Oh,
and
man.
It's a few blocks away from us here. Because all the rest of them, everyone was going online, you know?
Wow, okay.
To buy stuff. So there's a handful of other books, like vintage books and things like that, which are hard to find online. But as far as regular books, people get them online. But anyway, he grew his beard out down to like his knees. So we call him Moses.
I'm not going to let mine go that much. I'm still trying to decide whether or not I'm going to keep what I got.
Yeah. I painted it myself, though. Do you like it?
Yeah, I saw you when you created that. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I put in a prompt and there it is.
Here it is. It's all yours now.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, AI is getting better and better.
Yeah.
And it's just because it's finding things, and then you teach it when it finds things. Okay, that was a good way to do it. Do that again.
Just learning.
No brains. Just algorithms. Cool. Well, before we get deep into this rabbit hole, would you pray us into our study today?
Absolutely. Father, we come to you and we ask, please, for your guidance and help David to present this in a manner in which it will reach one or more of those souls out there that we know that you want to bring in to your harvest. And we hope that in the process, you might even locate that last Christian finally, and which would allow us to join you in the air. Father, we're looking forward to that day so much. Thank you, Father, for everything that you give us, and help this show, again, to reach as many people as we possibly can, no matter where they may be located on the face of this earth. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We agree. Yeah, and we're just closer than ever now that this last poop is gone.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Okay, now what? Because he was supposed to be the last one.
David, I have seen a lot of comments about that. You know, I didn't realize so many people knew about it. Is the Malachi? Is that right?
Yeah, Malachi. Pope Malachi from like a gazillion years ago.
Yeah. And I saw, now, you know, you've been talking about how he came up and listed all the popes, and that this was the one that just died was supposed to be the very last one. Since then, I have learned that in the Vatican, you know, they put up a picture of every pope that's deceased. There's only a spot for this guy. There's not another one after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that because they knew this was it? They're going to get another one when he comes in?
Who knows?
I don't know.
You know, but
like,
but,
they didn't put Trump up in that military base, right? So they fired her.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's going to be interesting. His funeral's on Saturday. Then he got 9 days of mourning, and after that, they go into the conclave. So you know, we'll see. We'll see.
I heard they're doing a ninja warrior contest to see who's going to be the next pope. So they have to go through the calisthenics course, you know, and whoever wins, they get to be the pope.
Well, I noticed also that the people on The View said that they hope they don't appoint somebody that is a conservative. Can you believe that? I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, you know, you almost think that The View is another Babylon Bee.
Yeah, really. For real.
They say stuff that's so ridiculous and outlandish. That's got to be satire. It can't be that stupid.
I don't know.
They really are.
Yeah, maybe they are. All right, well, let's get to it, David. We got weekly update here.
Yeah, this is fun, man. But, you know, I want to hit on that because I wanted to talk about the 1,000 years is as a day. So because of this flood, this is This was a lead in to the end of that first age. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the flood and all this, because we had the Nephilim, and the Essenes called it the Age of Chaos.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's what it was. It was the fallen angels came down. They raped the women. They had Nephilim, which are half breeds, mm-hmm. Demons, half angel, half humans.
Human.
Mm-hmm. And that they were known as the demons or the evil spirits. So just to clarify, fallen angels are different than mm-hmm. demons.
Mm-hmm.
And demons are not fallen angels. They are actually the disembodied sons of the fallen angels and the women that they raped,
okay.
which is why they don't have a habitation.
Okay.
Okay. They can't live in heaven because they're half human, and they can't live on earth because they're a half angel.
Mm.
So they're subject to Hades right now, and then they'll be in the lake of fire at the end of the age. But they're trying to get out, and the whole abyss thing is them trying to get out and create these bodies with the humans. That's why we got all this medical manipulation and pharmakia. They're trying to make bodies that they can live in that would actually sustain them.
Okay.
But that ushered in, because that was in 1656 Anno Mundi that the flood came in. And so that was just, 340 something years before 2000. But what it did, it was that crossover period, you know, that relay race. So it was that crossover from the age of chaos, and then that new age had to settle in. And then Abraham, when he was born, and then he was born in, and check this out, 1948. Was it 1948. Yeah. Anno Mundi, and then when he was 52, then it wound up to be 2000. So 1940. Okay, brain freeze. 1656, and then 1948. So it was 1948 years after creation that he was born, and he was called out at 52. So you got that that age right there, that relay race. Right. But 1948 is when the Israel again was recalled as a nation. So the numbers all line up, but just very coincidentally.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't think there's any direct, hey, wow, this is some kind of prophetic thing, other than when the numbers all match up, it's easy to see, okay, somebody did this.
Right.
And it was also the 17th of Nisan that Noah came out of the ark again.
Mm-hmm. Well, now explain Nisan.
Oh, Nisan is the first month. Okay. So okay. they had the Anno Mundi, which was the Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the year. But then he made the agricultural year later in the month of Nisan. So there's technically two different new years, that's 6 months apart.
Yeah. Okay.
And Nisan was the first month, but it was the seventh month back then. So you had the 6 month, and then into the seventh month, you had the 17th of Nisan. And that's when he came out. And that's exactly the day that Jesus rose from the grave.
Mm, yeah. Okay.
On 17 okay. Nisan, because Passover is always 14 Nisan.
Yeah.
And so he rose from the grave, so Noah coming out of the ark was the anniversary in advance of Jesus resurrecting and giving us a brand new world to live in, which is this age of grace. So there's reason to believe that some of these things may reoccur and then follow the feast days around again. So that's interesting.
Well, now I've got to break, and this has nothing to do with the study, so I hope I don't mess you up. But I wanted to address this online.
I got notes.
We have one of our viewers on YouTube, actually, that responded to one of the shows that we did quite a while ago, actually. And he was saying, if you remember, we were talking about the possibility of an EMP attack being the reason why It's possible that there might be fighting during the Gog and Magog War using,
old-fashioned
swords, all that. And he said, well, what would prevent them? And this is his question. It was legitimate, okay? I mean, he's not trying to make fun of anything. He was being legit. He said, what would prevent them from using guns, machine guns, like, because those aren't electronic? And the only thing I could reply to him on is, I don't know. I really don't know. I thought I would bring it up with you and see if you had some insight on that, because he is a regular viewer. He's commented on a few of our shows.
So you got two possibilities, Aaron. It is a legit question, so yay. The possibility one is that they had no clue what a gun was back then, so they just said it was an analogous to, it's a weapon of some kind, so we'll just call it a sword. So that's one. That's a possibility. Or number two, there's no more manufacturing, so they just couldn't make any more bullets to use. You know, or maybe they were all taken away by liberal governments.
Who knows? Yeah, like I told him, you know, a prophecy, we know how it works the second after it happens, you know, and that was basically my answer. But I'm wanted to see if you had anything else that you wanted to add there. But
yeah, those are the only possibilities I could think of. They just either ran out at that point, or at least those particular people ran out. The weaponry was metaphorical, because are they really riding horses? Or maybe they're riding, in vehicles, but they just thought, what is this thing? So we'll just call it a chariot, because maybe it was a tank and they just said, it's a chariot.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm sorry about that, David. I didn't want to take you off. But he deserved an answer, because like I said, he's a loyal viewer. So, okay.
Yay! We love you, loyal viewer. Okay. And thanks for your support.
Definitely.
Yeah. If you can't be an athlete, at least be an athletic supporter. So here we go. I wanted to touch on this. For some reason, this keeps coming back up, particularly in creation groups. And there always is, well, God could have done it in millions of years. Well, sure he could.
Yeah.
But could he have done it in millions of years, JD?
No, I don't think so. What would be the point?
Well, no, could he? If he wanted
to, could he
have done it?
Yeah,
he could
have done it.
Could he have done it in 6 seconds?
Or faster.
Okay, if he wanted to it. Could he have done it in 6 months?
Yep.
No doubt. He could have done it in 6 million years.
Yeah.
Well, then he could have done it in 6 days, too.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's what he chose.
Yes. So here's the deal. What did he say? Because to have the audacity to question what God wrote and then still call yourself a Christian is a problem. Okay. And it's always the same thing. They got I hate to do this, but they think they're Christians because they're in this, I'm in the church. And no, you're really not.
Yeah.
Okay. What you're in is a nice social club.
Right.
All right. And you're not studying the word to show yourself approved. And everywhere in the word, it specifically tells you how long it is, to the point where it tells you this guy was this old when he had this kid, and this one was this old, and this one was this old, all the way up to what we know as the Bible today. And we know exactly how far back that was.
Amen.
Okay. And you can run the numbers back. And even if you're off by a couple of this or a couple of that, it winds up to be approximately 6,000 years or 5,950 at this point. And then there's another 50 years left for the end of this age, which is the transition period. We are entering a transition period. So look for all these cool things to happen.
Right.
But Peter tells us this. Pete is good at this. And in 2 Peter 3, I'll skip some of that. But so in 3:3, it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. So anyone who scoffs the word of God and what it says, basically they're walking after their own lusts. Simple as that. It's super simple. You think you know everything. This is your lust, and you have the audacity to question God and what he said. And this is specifically about the age of the earth, because here it is. And saying in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. All right. So here you go. Check this out. This is as something that is used by evolutionists, that we've always had the same rate of decay. Mm. Okay, everything continues as it was from the beginning. So that means if I see this happening now and it takes a year, that means if it went this far back, no, things decay at different rates. When right. things are hotter, they decay faster. When they're colder, they decay slower. Mm-hmm. And the radioactivity, it changes over time. And when the Great Flood happened, that really changed the entire ecosystem of the Earth, because now the canopy came down, now the radiation from the sun is coming in mm-hmm. and destroying things that much faster. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not the same rate of decay as they say, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. No. Mm-hmm. But imagine that. Here's Peter 2,000 years ago getting a prophecy saying, this is what they're going to say. Oh, look, he's not coming. You've been saying mm-hmm. that for 1,000 years, 2,000 mm-hmm. years.
Right.
Okay, since the fathers fell asleep. Oh, and look at evolution. We just see time, and it's all the same through history. No, it isn't. Okay. And why? Because this they are willingly are ignorant of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you
okay.
go.
Now, ignorant doesn't mean you're stupid. It means you're purposely denying some knowledge. You
right.
don't know the knowledge, but you refuse to learn the knowledge. Therein lies the lust, and therein lies the self-righteousness and the audacity to question God. Mm-hmm. He says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And that's what we see in creation. They're mm-hmm. they're ignorant that God created the heavens at mm-hmm. the same time as it created the earth with right. the water. Mm-hmm. So this whole universe was created at the same time, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So that time period left, that age of chaos, done. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word kept in store. Okay, so now he's hanging on to this. Reserved unto fire. So, you know, we think, and this boots out the NAR movement too, because this whole earth, the church is not going to take over. It's not.
No.
It never says that anywhere in the word. The church mm-hmm. is going to take over the earth. Never, never, never. It says no. Jesus is going to come back, melt everything down, and he's going to take over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. By the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So clearly he's talking about creation, the length of time that we're here, okay, and what has happened along the way, and all the things don't continue. There's time periods and things change.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 8 is the key phrase here. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. All right? Now mm-hmm. here's a warning. Do not be ignorant of this one thing.
One, okay?
One gotcha. Thing.
Mm-hmm.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One thing. If there's anything, yeah. it's this one thing that you need to know, mm-hmm. okay? So I take that very seriously. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years,
mm-hmm.
okay? Mm-hmm. Most people will stop there and say, oh, time doesn't mean anything to God. And that yeah. just means, oh, he's so big and infinite that, you know, a day could be like 1,000 years long.
Mm.
Well, that's not the context, number no. one. Okay. But it says one day is analogous to 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you're ignorant, he switches it around. He
yeah.
says, don't try that trick on me
uh-huh.
because 1,000 years is analogous one to one day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They forget to read yeah. the second half.
That's
when
that
you
double
read it
thing.
Backwards and forward. Huh?
Yeah, that's that double thing.
That
when comes back to
it
me.
And forward.
I hear it a lot in the church that I went to there anyway, where, you know, if it's important, if it's really important, God says it twice.
Yeah. And if he reverses it, it's extra important.
It's extra important. Yeah. There you go.
And and when he says, do not be ignorant of this one thing, then it's really extra ultra important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And one day is a day of creation, right? So you have 6 days of creation, which means there'll be 6,000 years of earth history. And then you have the Sabbath day, and that is the 1,000 years that Jesus will reign on the earth.
The millennial reign.
Okay, that is the rest day, because trust me, the earth will be resting in that day.
Yes.
When the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the lion will eat grass like an ox, and kids will play with snakes, and it'll be fun.
Right.
Okay. And that's the rest day for the earth. And that period is going to demonstrate the righteousness of Christ against whom all other of the rulers throughout the ages will be judged. So he has to come and he has to judge in righteousness. So therefore, there's a comparison so they can be judged righteously. That's why he's coming to rule on the earth for 1,000 years. And then after he's done that, you got the Gog and Magog war again at the end, the lake of fire judgment, and then we melt it all down and we start a new heaven and new earth, get a new Jerusalem. And imagine what that one's going to look like, and that has no more possibility of sin.
Right. And before you go on, because you mentioned it, the Gog and Magog war, there's two of them, right?
Yeah, that's the big one at the end.
Yeah, that's the finisher.
That's the one where you really have to be stupid to see Jesus rule and reign in righteousness and peace for 1,000 years and then still go, duh, I think I'll go with it. You deserve what you get at that point.
I mean, you know, after 1,000 years, and, you know, and I'm sitting here and I think, 1,000 years. Okay. They ought to learn their lesson, you know, and follow. Right. But after 1,000 years, maybe it gets boring. I can't think of a reason why they revolt at the end there, but.
Yeah, I don't know. But I know, you know, people that are born 500 years from now will be telling these stories. Oh, you should have seen it, you know, before then. Just like the ones that were born after Jesus, the people that were born before him said, oh, it was so much different. Now we have Jesus and everything's different. Let me tell you how it was.
Right.
It's going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
We don't realize that, but we're going to be there and we're going to be telling these stories to all these kids born.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, wow.
Did you know that we were there when he wasn't?
I was there.
Yeah.
And he wasn't here yet. That must have been terrible. Great, 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 great grandpa.
It wasn't fun.
No, it wasn't fun. Let's go get some ice cream. Oh, that's going to be great.
So, hey, guess how many times in Revelation chapter 20 that he says 1,000 years?
Well, I'm going to say twice, but I'm probably wrong. Go ahead.
Check it out. Just because God is amazing this way, he mentioned it, and it says basically, and he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, bound him 1,000 years. Okay. And he sealed them up until 1,000 years were done. And then they lived, and the people who were crucified lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And then the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. Those people shall reign for 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. There's six times.
Six times, as in the same number of
the 6,000 years of Earth history.
There you go. I should have guessed that.
Just another clue. And what really makes it interesting is everything in Revelation is in sevens.
Okay, I never realized that.
But this is in six. It's talking about the 1,000 years, so that is the seventh, but it mentions the 1,000 years six times. So those six times are leading up to that 1,000-year reign of Christ.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
I hadn't realized that. Just another corroborating evidence that he throws in there.
It's amazing how many times God has a unique way, or not unique, he's got awesome ways of pounding things home.
Yeah. And it's basically, you know, proving that his word is true. Because how could John, you know, sitting there lying on the thing, oh, I'm stuck here again, looking at the stars, and he just makes this up. Oh, I got an idea. Let me put this in here six times so people think this. No, he's writing what he's told.
Right. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. How many years was he on Patmos? Do you remember?
Goodness. Now you're asking me a question. I don't know. But he came out and he did some more apostle things after that and all of them. Yeah. And just so we're clear on that part, all of the early church fathers knew this. Okay. And the problem is when people go to the seminary now, they teach them the whole Sethite theory and that they try and milk in the you know, one day is as a thousand years. And I still remember the one pastor who was the nicest guy ever and went to 8 years to get his master's degree in theology and didn't know anything. And, you know, and it was sad because he thought it was the Sethites and not the giants. I'm like, that's not what it says. And then he's like, oh, no, that doesn't mean that. That means that, you know, it does. God, time doesn't mean anything to God. He's like, where'd you get that idea? You know, that's nowhere in the Bible. And then different things like that. So this is what they learned in that school. And it's sad because they spent all this money. They think they know what they're talking about.
Why don't they just read the text? Why don't you just read the text?
And that's the problem. They don't actually read it. They just believe what they were told. And I went to class and I paid money, so it must be right. Without actually reading the word. And there was something else too about that. When I brought it up, I said, "Listen, the church fathers. Oh no, they didn't talk about that. They didn't think it was 6,000 years." So I brought up like five of them. I said, "Printed them out. Here they are." The early church fathers pretty much all said the same thing, that the earth will be here for 1,000 years. And they even quoted Peter and saying it. And it's just like, oh, and this was 1,000 years. Now they all knew that there was going to be 6,000 years of earth history. All of them. Go look it up. Go look up the early church fathers. Oh, and boy. In the meantime, if you haven't received Christ, that's a bigger question.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to do that today. So you're not caught up in this gobbledygook of you know, anti-creation people and then the flood. In the second half, we're going to get into clues about that and maybe even the you know, the dimensions of what they mean. In the meantime, we're going to go here, and Lord willing, you know, we will see you guys in the second half. And blessings. We'll see you then. Bye.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And we are back. So that was fun. Not raptured yet, but it's getting close with the poop gun. I mean, I
got
just
to.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
I know it's close. Anyway, but I'm ready. We're prepared for the next 50 years, but I vote now.
I sure want to get raptured. I really do. I got no desire to live out this life and drag. David, I'm pretty old, and think, yeah. Old and decrepit, and the body's breaking down, and I don't really want to do this until I'm 100.
And it's not necessarily life itself, because we love life and being here. We just don't like the corrupted bodies that we're in.
We
don't like the world getting more wicked and wicked.
I'm ready for the upgrade.
We don't want to come back and fix it.
I'm just ready for the upgrade. That's it.
Ready for the upgrade. That's it. We're moving forward. It's not a checking out. It's a checking up.
Yeah, there you go.
and it'll be just like the Matrix. You just plug this in. Here you go. Okay, you're a ninja warrior now. All right. So we've been talking about. I think we went into this, but let me just recapitulate on this again. Exploring the tectonic uplift hypothesis.
Okay.
I don't believe it's a hypothesis. I believe this is exactly what happened, but in scientific terms, it's a hypothesis.
Okay.
Could the flood have been caused by a massive tectonic event? One possible mechanism for a global or near-global flood is a sudden rupture of the tectonic plates, which could have led to vast underground waters and a subsequent uplift of the continents. The idea aligns with biblical descriptions of the fountains of the deep breaking open, and the modern geological feature is known as the Ring of Fire. Okay, we talked about that. In the Mariana Trench, it looks like it was torn apart.
Yeah.
That could happen a couple different ways. And I think they're actually intertwined. I think it was both and. It said when God spoke, and when he speaks, kind of the universe shakes. That's how a microwave works. Did you know that?
Yeah, we talked about a microwave once. Yeah.
Yeah, so the microwave actually vibrates the water molecules really fast, and then they heat up. Problem is, it destroys the water molecules.
Yeah.
But if now your food's poisonous, don't use a microwave. So if God spoke, just the very sound of his voice could have cracked the earth open.
Yeah,
without
a doubt.
But it also could be done by maybe his clock. Remember, all he says, these are for the times and the seasons. The universe is his clock, and all the planets and stars are God's clock. They're timepieces. So when he set Mars into orbit, it crosses over once in a while. So I think he set the perfect timing of it to come close enough to Earth where it would the gravitational pull would cause this upheaval as well. Similar to Joshua's day when it flipped over and then we had that long day, and similar to the 3-hour eclipse that we had when Jesus was crucified, and this huge earthquake at the same time. I would postulate and suggest that that's possibly a near miss of Mars on all of those occasions.
Okay.
And Mars being the god of war, if you would cause this. And I'd have to, I got to get into the Maserat and see what Mars is in the Maserat, but I believe it's a similar thing. It's a harbinger of woe. He did that on purpose to cross Earth's paths at certain times for these prophetic events. So in either case, we can see the evidence that that's exactly what happened, that the earth was cracked. We got the ring of fire and it kind of expanded. So if you imagine it was smaller and poked together then and all the water was in the middle. But it said hell has expanded itself, right? So Hades had to get bigger. Boop, we got to create a bigger hole in the middle of the earth to put all these demons in. So now that cracked the earth open, now all this water comes out. Now we lost half of the land because all the water's on top now. And so that's a tectonic plate. Now these plates start shifting around, right? They're all like, they're all fluid on top. And the biblical clue is the fountains of the deep. And that's on, you know, Genesis 7:11 saying the 600 year of Noah's life and the second month on the 17th day of the month that the fountains of the great deep burst forth. And the windows of heaven were open. Okay. Mm-hmm. So remember we talked about Nisan 17 that was there too. So we have the fountains of the deep suggesting massive underground reservoirs of water. The phrase burst forth implies a sudden and violent geological event. And this could indicate a rupture of the earth's crust, possibly tied to plate tectonics.
Well, I got to stop you for a second. Okay. Because I'm still a little bit confused about the water thing. Okay. I understand the water being contained initially. I understand pop open, water up, come back down. I understand that that everything was expanded, but I'm unclear as to whether or not the water went back into the earth again, or if it just went away, or what. Because and the reason I'm asking that question, David, is because we both know that the end deals with fire. So, you know, I'm wondering whether or not that water is still there to the degree it was before. I hope I'm even making sense with what I'm asking here.
But. Yeah, they actually found more water. They said there's way more water still under the earth than all of the oceans combined.
Okay, okay.
Because if you look in scale, it's like, it's maybe like, I think it's like an eighth of an inch deep, the ocean, compared to the size of the earth. So there's a lot of water under there.
Okay, okay.
You know, and if you smooth out the earth, like if you take the earth and put it down to the size of a cue ball, it's actually smoother than a cue ball.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So all the stuff we see as mountains and everything is just because we're super tiny compared to the
earth. Yeah, for real. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. You don't mean my stupid questions. If it hits, I got to ask it.
All right. So the ring of fire is basically all around the earth. So it's a 25,000 mile horseshoe shaped region and it just cracked. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like a baseball seam, if you can imagine that. And that has 75% of the world's volcanoes and 90% of the world's earthquakes is right along the cracks. So obviously there was a crack. It's basically it's an unstable fractured zone in the earth's crust. And that indicates that a catastrophic past event,
right?
Because all plates are still moving. And that's evidence of the flood. And they were suddenly ruptured, could have led to massive underwater volcanic activity, which would melt the canopy as well. A rapid upwelling of magma, which would suggest all the mountains that we have. If you look at the big picture of the mountains, it looks like they squished them together and it buckled. And that's what we see. And we see all the, even the layers from the, you know, the flood laying down the layers. And then right after that, is you could see rocks that are buckled and they followed curves together because while they were still wet, they were folded and squished and everything. And the seismic activity caused all the shifts in the earth. And you could see it, the formation of deep ocean trenches and mountains post-flood as the land rebounded. So it didn't just go beep. It's which
time.
Is going to do again. You know, Bible says it will wobble to and fro like a drunkard. And so it's all going to happen again. I would surmise that maybe the nuclear reactor in the center of the earth would come out, and that's where all the fire comes from. But it could also be, you know, Jesus and his EMP-like features setting fire to everything. Because, you know, Moses couldn't look at God's face because he would, you know, burn up.
Right.
I think it's probably the same thing. When he shows the wrath on his face, maybe that energy lights everything up as well.
Well, you got to remember, too, that the people that are still here on the earth, they don't have those resurrected bodies. Since when they see Christ, there's going to be some issues with that because, you know, we'll be fine because we will have our resurrected body. But
and we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him.
Right.
So it won't even bother us. It'll be great. Actually, it'll be our source of energy. And that, so that explains both of these things, how flood could have covered the entire earth because the mountains are lower. And we got all this water coming out from the center and then the canopy coming down, and it kind of then takes time to settle as the land rises up. And how it also explains how the waters receded, just like the Grand Canyon. You see, that was a, that was, wasn't millions of years. That was a catastrophic event. And a huge one at that. And then the basins deepened. So that's the hydroplate theory, Dr. Walt Brown. And basically he said there was a pre-flood earth had a layer of subterranean water about 10 miles below the surface. The global rupture had the water come up. The plate movements, all the volcanic activity and massive erosion and sedimentary deposits. So you get that. And then we talked about the waters going up. So when the mountains go up, then the waters go down, clearly. Also explains the ice age, because people say, oh, what about the ice age? It's millions of years. No, that it would have happened over a course of a little bit of time, but not millions of years. Because it got hot and then it got cold. So you have that pendulum effect. Okay. So when you see the woolly mammoths frozen at the North Pole, when the canopy came in, all that heat went out. So the cold came down and went down to, like, let's say the equator, and then slowly went back up. So you had this cold spell because all the heat went out. And then over time, it gradually equalized around the globe because of the sun rays and everything. That would cause, this tectonic activity would cause increased volcanic ash. So now you got ash in the sky, which would block out the sun's rays, which would make it cold. So it would cool down all the global temperatures and everything would be fast, a rapid glaciation, it's called. And would lead to the ice age, not the movie, but the actual ice.
Real climate change.
Okay. You want climate change, just wait.
Yeah, there it is.
And then, and now, and that's what he's talking about. Because of that catastrophic event, things change quick. Aging changed quick. The layers changed quick, you know. But like Peter said, they're going to say, oh, all these things are the same since the beginning of creation. And that's what they say about Grand Canyon. Oh, this river just flowed through here and it was the same flow for millions of years and it just took that out. No. That's not how it happened. It wasn't that same little river on the bottom, because believe it or not, the Grand Canyon goes up. So the river is not going to go up to cut out a shift and then come back down again. It just happened that the erosion was there, cut through a little bit of a hill because it was so much water, whoosh, like you do on the beach when you build your sandcastle. The wave comes in and cuts a hole right through the mountain. The same thing happened, and then that river just settled at the bottom. Okay. And now it settles and it's at the bottom and it goes towards the ocean because that's what the water does. It levels it out, if you would. So we see it. We see exactly that. Okay. And so that's all the basically the conclusion. So you got Walter Brown. You got, if you go to ICR.org, that's Institute for Creation Research, you can see the whole plate tectonics model. ICR.org.
Yeah, I want to look at that.
Yeah, it's, and they got tons of stuff, and they put everybody to shame that thinks they're smart. They really do. You know, and the only thing they can say is, oh, well, you're not an accredited thing. Yeah, they're not accredited because no one likes what they're saying. It's, that's their club. Oh, just say what we say, and then we'll say you're good. No, I'm going to say the truth, and it's going to be good whether you say so or not. That's the thing. The mountains on the mountaintops, they got fossils, marine fossils. You got fish, you got clams, you got all that stuff.
shrimp. I think SpongeBob was found on top of Mount Everest.
Patrick.
So okay. All these marine fossils up there, like his great-great-grandfather. Mm-hmm. So we got the Ring of Fire and the plate tectonics. And then you got, let me see, Answers in Genesis is another good one. They have...
I've been there.
They got more logical arguments, where the creation research is more experiments. So combined, it gives you a really good battle if you're battling someone who thinks he's smart. But I've honestly, JD, I've come to the point where number one, if you're like, or say an atheist or an evolutionist, I've just come to a point where I don't want to talk to you anymore. Whatever, man. Just go believe what you want. And it's not because it's, you know, mean or anything, but they honestly, they just haven't done an unbiased research.
Right.
You just haven't. Yeah. Because if you do, if you erase your brain today and then put it in the system and say, okay, evolution, it happened magically all by itself one day and nothing became everything when it exploded. Or, hey, this is a really good creative design. There's somebody must be that outside of this must be more powerful that actually put all this together because of all the structure. If you were unbiased and honest, you would say, you would look at everything in the world and say, this had to be created.
Yeah. Well, you know? I mean, it says, you know, read the Bible like a child, like a small child.
Yeah.
And if you do that, if you really, you've got to open your mind. I mean, if you look at the Bible and you've got a closed mind when you start, you're going to have a closed mind when you stop. You know, but if you if you go into it and actually do the study, you can learn something. You really can. And, you know, just let the Holy Spirit talk to you. That's it.
Yeah. And ask in honesty. That's what I did. You know, at 15 years old, I said, listen, if you're there, tell me. It's as simple as that. God, if you are there, show me.
Right.
And he does. If you're honest about that, he'll show up. And the only ones who don't are the ones who don't want to hear from him.
Correct.
And that's as simple as it is. You do not want to. So why would I argue with you and try and prove this creation? And then they say, well, can you prove it without the Bible? Well, you prove it without science then. You know, prove it without your supplements.
But actually, but honestly, we could, because there's other resource material outside of the Bible that, that you know, corroborates all that. You know,
It's clearly says all creation, it shows that it was created. Okay. So, so they're just not thinking, and all they want to do is argue. So no matter what you present to them as fact, they're just going to come up with some reason why they don't have to believe it.
Right. Exactly.
And it's nothing intelligent. It's some kind of a ad hominem kind of a thing. Oh, well, you didn't go to this school, or you didn't do that.
Right.
And it's like, are you going to just listen to the truth or not? So I've come to the point where, whatever, man. Yeah, you're right. Mm. Good luck in front of the throne. I'll be on the other side, and I'll just remind you of this conversation now, so you have a nice day.
Yeah, so you wouldn't want to be you. I understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then those who would call themselves Christians and not believe the Bible, that's even more suspect.
That is insanity. That's true insanity right there. Yeah. I mean, be careful calling yourself a Christian.
Well, we have to believe what we see.
Yeah. Be careful calling yourself a Christian if you're not. You know, I did that. Yeah. Okay. I'm speaking from experience here. You know, I called myself a Christian for decades, and I was about as far away from being a Christian as you can get. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't fall for that. You know, you have actually got to try. You're going to have failure. But you've got to try to live correctly. You've got to try to read the Bible. You've got to try, you know, it's like anything. Yeah, you've got to learn, you know.
And that just comes with a relationship with Jesus. Just hang out with Jesus, you know. And he'll give you everything you need.
Amen.
But they do this, and then they try and mix the two. Because they say, oh, well, we see in science that it's millions of years old. No, you really don't. That as millions of years old anyway. You have things that what you think look like millions of years, like the stars being far away. But again, we go back to Second Peter. You think all things were that's the same. And he's talking about even on a quantum level, you think the speed of light has been the same since the beginning of time. It hasn't. Okay. The speed of light is slowing down, and there's the equations tell us it was actually millions of times faster than it is now in the beginning, which would account for the stars appearing to be as far as away as you think they are. It's just that light traveled that much faster.
Yeah.
And when you, there's, it's long and mathematical, but this, the short story is this, is when you take those light years and you backtrack them, and then you add in the algorithm of the speed of light and how it has slowed down through the time that, just the time that we can measure it, and go all the way back, those millions of years of appearance actually break down into 6 days of creation. And about a 6,000 year history. Yeah.
Science does not want to admit that, David.
Yeah. And that's just, you got to really dig into quantum level, and quantum is so bizarre. But when it finally clicks in your head, it's actually the most simple thing. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Light slowing down. Yeah. That a child can understand it. We're stuck in this. Oh, all things are as they were from the beginning. No, light speed is slowing down. Okay. And your DNA is not the same as it was. And
no.
So the young Earth creation model is the best explanation, not only for what we see in the universe, but what the Bible clearly describes.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And part of it starts with this wonderful global flood. Let me see. We talked about that. We talked about the tectonic catastrophe. Okay. The fossil records got that fake assumption. All right. So let's jump down and talk about, we got a couple minutes here to dig into this, and then we'll the dimensions of Noah's Ark and the significance. So we're not going to get through it all, but I can't figure out why, when people translate the Bible into English, think they have to put it in our current measurement system.
Right.
Okay. Because that, what you're doing is dismissing the fact that these specific numbers were there for a specific reason.
Okay.
All right. And I'll go this. So Genesis 6:15 says, and this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits. Its breadth is 50 cubits and its height 30 cubits. Okay. Now, using the common cubit measurement of 18 inches or 1.5 feet, it's like 18.54 inches actually. Okay. Was standard unit, but just say, let's say it's a foot and a half.
Okay.
So the modern equivalent, approximately. So instead of saying it was 300 cubits ago, oh, it was 450 feet. Okay. But it doesn't matter. 450 feet doesn't matter.
Right.
Okay. What matters is it was 300 cubits. And the meters are even worse. 137 meters.
Yeah, I don't even know what a meter is. Right.
Like, what is that? You know, here's, well, meters are base 10. Everything is a 10 base in the metric system. But I can prove unequivocally that the metric system is not to be used.
Okay.
Because if Jesus wanted the metric system,
you're going to get Mark Sutherland all upset.
Yep. Well, no, he loves, because it's British. So the feet are British. But here's the thing, and there's 12, right? And there's 12 inches in a feet. But if Jesus wanted us to use the metric system, he would have had 10 disciples.
True.
So there's that.
Okay.
Let me see here. So, and the width was 50, so they say, oh, it was 75 feet or 23 meters. wait, that doesn't mean anything, and the height was 30. No, it was 300 whatever. By 50, whatever, by 30, whatever. Those numbers have the meaning. And it was basically a massive rectangular vessel, like a barge, more than a boat.
Yeah.
Okay. And they've learned that these are the precise dimensions which will keep a barge afloat in any kind of water.
which is cool.
So they, they make them go through the strait down below, South Africa, and that's the most treacherous water. You know, the waves are the size of Manhattan. So they build the boat to these dimensions, and the boats get through it. That those dimensions will actually turn a boat into the wave, so it breaks over instead of hitting it on the side.
I saw something like this, David. Scientists working on it, but these happen to be scientists that were trying to prove that things were correct. And what they did is they built a model to scale, real small though, but still to scale, and put it in a pool, like, I guess the best way to describe it would be like a sauna or something, like a spa.
Yeah, they got a wave pool.
Yeah, and just turn the thing on, and they couldn't make that thing flip. I mean, it was perfect the whole time. It was rocking and rolling, but it was rocking and rolling straight up. It wasn't tilting over, that's for sure.
Yep. So that's cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you got the people. These are the atheists again. You're telling me he got all the millions of species of animals on that ark? All right, let's try this again. You're the one that says everything branches out of one tree. Mm-hmm. So no, all the different species of cats came from one set of cats.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the lions, all the tigers, all those dumb cats you have in your house that crap in the box and make the house stink. All the different kind of cats. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Came from that one set of cats, and they were, and they had, it was called microevolution or adaptation over the years. Yeah. So you don't need every species of cat,
right?
And you don't need, and vast majority of these species that they cry about are microorganisms. Mm-hmm. You know, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But let's just hit this real quick. Could it fit all the animals? Well, with the dimension that it gives, the it's basically 1.52 million cubic feet. And that's equivalent to 522 railroad cars.
Wow.
And could fit about 125,000 sheep-sized animals.
Wow.
Assuming you're going to average them out from gerbils to dinosaurs.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not only that, they're sheep size. You got to remember, these animals were brought over there on as babies, not as full-grown animals.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, a lot of some people have argued that it could have even been eggs. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but,
Well, it says they brought male and female.
Yeah, so it'd be hard to be.
If it's in the egg, you wouldn't know which one it was.
Yeah,
they were newborn anyway, or very young animals. So that was it. Well, we're going to have to get into this next time because we're out of time again. And we'll get into the prophetic dimensions too as well. But yes, all the different animals could fit on there because you brought them as babies. And remember, species are delineated. So there was actually room for them to run around. If you calculate it all out, run around and hold all their food. Mm-hmm. So again, God was right again. How about that?
Yep.
You're not as bright as you think you are. but that's where I was at. I'm not that bright. Let me just see what God has to say. So Lord willing, if we're still here, we will see you guys on the next show. And we'll talk more about this fun stuff. Be blessed. Have an awesome day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.